Hello and welcome back to this series called Refined, where we are exploring how we are being refined as a people and a church through our current experiences. It's great to have you listening into these conversations, and I've also really appreciated your interactions through comments and emails along the way. I guess even though we live and serve in a whole variety of contexts across this island, it's been great to express some things as a larger church family at this time. So please do keep subscribing and liking and listening and emailing as we try to navigate these times together. Now, over the next few episodes, we're going to touch down on some key aspects of our life and witness, but we thought it would be good to start by looking away from ourselves to an area that I think can often be neglected, perhaps in the life of some of our congregations. And so I'm joined today by two guests who will help us to discuss our involvement in global mission. And then we'll end this episode by hearing from a couple who are currently serving with PCI elsewhere in the world. So a big welcome to Pam McCulloch.
Hi there.
And Neil Harrison.
Hi, Rick.
It's really good to have you both join with me today. Pam, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners, maybe tell them a little bit about what you do, the church you're part of, and maybe even some of your background in global mission too.
Well, I am currently living in Annalong with my husband David and our three girls, and I'm a stay-at-home mum, and so it's quite busy. Our girls range in age from almost 1 to 6 years old, so lots of school runs, lots of feeds during the night, and it's busy time. But David is the minister here in Annalong Presbyterian Church, and we've been here almost for 2 years. Prior to that, we served as global mission workers with PCI out in Malawi, and prior to that, I actually worked in assembly buildings in what was the Presbyterian Mission Overseas office at that time. And then prior to that, I worked as a missionary in Malawi as a single girl. So I've gone back and forth to Malawi a few times.
You're the perfect person for this conversation today, I think.
So not sure if I'm the perfect person, but it's been really great to think through some of these questions again and think about the whole topic of global mission and how we as Presbyterians are involved in that.
So, I mean, with all these various hats that you have worn or are wearing and helping us to consider our involvement in global mission, what have you observed? So just give us your observations about how congregations perhaps usually engage with global mission.
I think that some congregations are very deeply involved in global mission. I think they're involved with either a person or a place or a project, and that's a very long-standing relationship that they have. Other congregations, much less. So I think sometimes there can be a little bit of handing over to one person, the champion for global mission, maybe in a congregation, or someone who's very, very, very passionate about it. And almost there's sometimes a little bit of a tick box exercise where that one person is given, sort of runs with global mission, and then that's seen as the congregation being involved. But actually, it's not true congregational involvement. And also, I think some congregations perhaps have got lots of fingers and lots of pies. There's a plethora of mission organizations that churches and congregations can be involved in. And so sometimes I think interests are very spread and divided. But I think one thing for me that I'm very excited about with regards to PCI is our United Appeal and how every single congregation is involved in mission, both at home and globally, through giving to United Appeal and through praying for our global mission workers who are supported through United Appeal. And I think that is just something really key, because I think especially for smaller congregations where perhaps there isn't maybe the time, the energy, the finances to be very involved with other organisations, we have this central role that we can play through United Appeal. So I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Neil, you do work in assembly buildings at the minute, so tell us a little bit about your role there and maybe a little bit about yourself as well.
Thanks, Rick. Hi, my name is Neil Harrison, and I'm the Mission Development Officer for the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. I've been in that role for about 2.5 years. So part of that role is helping churches to think about mission at a local level, and trying to resource and support congregations in doing that, and then also help congregations to think a little bit more about global mission involvement. I live in Waringstown. We worship in Waringstown Presbyterian. I was on staff there for a number of years, but it's my home church, and I'm married to Suzanne, and we have two small children. So that's me.
Brilliant. And Suzanne was actually in a previous episode of this podcast, so she beat you to it, actually. So.
She did, yes.
I want to ask you the same question as Pam around, you know, what have you observed from your perspective and your role about how congregations usually engage with global mission?
It's a bit like what Pam has said. It's a mixed bag. Some congregations are very active in their global mission involvement. They have connections with particular people or projects overseas over a long period of time. Sometimes that's maybe because someone from their church family has gone overseas and therefore there's a very natural relational link there. Or maybe there's just a particular project that has caught their hearts and they've been committed to that over many years. And then people are reminded of that on a regular basis through updates and prayer. But interestingly, just around the time that I started, our council did a survey of 150 ministers across all presbyteries and found that 70% had no active ongoing link overseas with a particular mission organization or a project or person. So that's not to say that they weren't involved in global mission in a kind of more scattered way. But in terms of an ongoing involvement, that was quite surprising, I suppose. And that's something that we would want to commit ourselves to redress in some way.
And hopefully our conversation will maybe help raise that today. We've heard a phrase over the last couple of years from PCI that global disciples should go deep and go wide. So I don't think we're just talking about a famous kids song. I think it's more than this. So what do we mean by, you know, going deep and going wide when it comes to global mission? Pam, do you want to comment on that?
I think before we sort of go deep and wide, I think we have to think about what do we mean by the term global disciple. I think, you know, we're all called to be followers of Jesus and to be his disciples. And we're very familiar with the verses in Matthew 28 and at the end of the other Gospels about, you know, the final instructions from Jesus, you know, before his ascension. And Jesus wanted his disciples to go and to make other disciples, more disciples of all nations. And we are to have a heart for mission, you know, not just at home, but for the whole world. I think, you know, as time has gone by, our society has changed, obviously, dramatically on this island. Our culture, the commitment to Christianity has lessened. And so our focus has perhaps become more local in thinking about how do we reach out to our local communities with the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is key and vital and so important. But I think with that, then we've maybe lost our vision for the nations and for the world. And obviously that's going to look different for every single individual and for each congregation. But we must strive to have that heart for the world, just as Jesus did. And we're very much called to partner with what God is doing across the whole world in all nations. You know, the church is growing in many other parts of the world at a very different rate than it is, say, on the continent of Europe. And so we have to be looking for opportunities to partner with what God is doing in those parts of the world. And so a couple of years ago, PCI released a Bible study looking at God's mission, our mission. And it's a really, really, it's quite an in-depth Bible study. It's quite rich in scripture, but it's actually a really good overview of what it means to think through global and local mission. And just it's a resource that's there for congregations to dip into and look at. And I think maybe explore this, because I think that that's potentially something that needs to be preached about, and people need to have the opportunity to explore what it means to be a global disciple.
I guess, as Pamela has touched on there, I think the world is getting smaller. We know that, you know, globalization, we all feel a bit more connected maybe than what we used to. And we want congregations and individuals and congregations to see themselves as global disciples in terms of how they think about mission. So it's not just, oh, here's my local mission and here's my global mission, because actually the reality is that global mission starts on many of our doorsteps. There's a diversity amongst our population that is increasingly growing, and that's an aspect of global discipleship as well. Across PCI, we're encouraging congregations to go deep and wide in their global mission involvement. And I guess this is a framework that and a strategy that we hope people can and congregations can really get to grips with and understand in a simple way as possible. Going deep is about planting something with roots to grow. Experience shows that congregations best develop an active, ongoing involvement in global mission by having at least one deep relationship with a particular person, a place, or a project overseas. So we want congregations to actively cultivate and build this relationship over time. So going deep is that kind of relationship on the, at an ongoing level that a congregation has, and that's really, really important. And then going wide recognises the fact that, well, if we only go deep in one place, then we miss out on the richness of what God is doing across many other parts and places in the world. So we recognise that God's mission has many aspects to it, and we want to give people a breadth of that. And so going wide really lands upon some of the established appeals that we have across the Presbyterian Church. Pam's already touched on the United appeal there, but with a bit of planning and publicity within our local congregations, then we can use the denominational appeals that happen every year to really profile something about global mission. Often these appeals are packaged in a way that there's a good kind of video clip or a story that tells the story of what people are doing across the world as part of God's mission. So things like the World Development Appeal, the Youth and Children's Project, the PW Overseas Project, the Moderators Appeal, they're dotted throughout the year within our calendar. And we would see those as opportunities to stretch our horizons to enable involvement in the breadth of God's global mission.
I mean, from listening to you both, it sounds to me like there might be work for us to do, you know, to raise the profile of global mission in our congregations. Do you think that's something that maybe has drifted or lacked more recently than it used to? And maybe why do you think, Neil, for example, why do you think that might be the case?
I think we maybe pigeonhole mission in some ways and in slots, you know, throughout the year rather than maybe being embedded and woven. And I guess if there is a league table of congregational activities, then global mission is maybe in the relegation zone in terms of where it sits and the kind of profile that it might get. But as we've already said, you know, as our culture gets more secular, congregations seem to kind of focus their efforts on mission locally first. And I can understand that. There's you know, the priority lies on our doorstep there. And you know, God has placed our congregation in a particular postcode for a reason. So therefore, you know, we do want to embed ourselves there. But at the same time, we don't want that to leave kind of less energy or less resources to allow our congregation to be involved in global mission in whatever that might look like.
Yeah, I think global mission sometimes can be seen as it's for the experts, it's for the missionaries, it's for the mission committee, it's for the minister. It's not always seen as something that each member of the congregation should be involved in, or it has a slot as such. I mean, and ultimately, during a Sunday morning service, there does need to be a slot. You know, it has to go into a slot. There's, you know, there's no other way of doing it. But I think that's where the whole concept of really helping people to explore what it means to be a global disciple is so foundational for all of this. Because if people don't have personal convictions about it, then it's not going to filter into their everyday life and how they pray, how they interact, where they look for opportunities. Because ultimately, most of us are living locally. We're not jetting off to faraway lands all the time. Yes, some of us God calls to go and live and work and serve in different cultures, but mostly we're at home in our own home culture. And so I think really resourcing and encouraging people to think about how God wants them and the role that God has for them in global mission is really important. You know, can they be the encourager? Can they be that person that communicates with folks overseas, whether that's other missionaries, you know, missionaries sent out from PCI, or our partner organizations and leaders? Is it someone who really champions praying in the local congregation? How are we in our giving? Obviously, we encourage people to give to United Appeal, but, you know, do they fully understand what they're giving to when they give to United Appeal? And I think especially during this time of pandemic, I think it's very easy to, you know, hunker down and think about ourselves. And also, practically speaking, in most churches who have gone back to face-to-face services, then the actual service is very short. And so, you know, having that time to give to a focus on global mission is tricky. And so, you know, encouraging our church leaders to think through creatively how they still communicate and bring global mission to their congregations on a regular level is something that we really need to think about.
That's brilliant. You're talking about how we can all be involved, so it's not just a few or the one. You know, some of us can be champions or givers or encouragers or senders, and some will go as well. So yeah, that's really helpful. I guess so far in the conversation we've diagnosed the problem, we've maybe highlighted the go deep, go wide principle. Let's try and think practically together. So to those who are listening right now, what advice would you give to congregations to increase their involvement in global mission?
The foundation of what it means to be a global disciple, but the whole idea of, you know, we're a church of a priesthood of all believers. You know, there's many parts to the body and we all have a different role to play. I think it's not just for the global mission champion or the mission committee. You know, I think it's for the leadership, for Minister Kirk Session, alongside, you know, I think you do obviously need people who have a passion for global mission to spearhead it and move it forward. But it's thinking through what that looks like for your particular setting and your particular congregation. And I think obviously focusing in on that deep relationship is vital. If there's not a deep relationship with one project or place or person, then it's a bit lukewarm. Then it's a bit watered down. There's not the ability for the person sitting in the pew or on the chair to be like, oh yes, that's our global mission involvement. That's what our church does. It is thinking about those long-standing partnerships, and they really need to be real partnerships, real relationships with people. And that takes time, it takes energy, it takes a good amount of planning and thinking through what does a two-way partnership with a person or a project look like. You know, it's about learning. We're not just there to bestow our wisdom upon our brothers and sisters overseas. You know, we have to be looking for ways in which we're learning and sharing ideas with each other and growing together in what God is doing in building his kingdom, both here at home, but also overseas. And I think sometimes, because obviously a major focus for our denomination is United Appeal in terms of mission involvement, I think sometimes we can then reduce it very much down to finances. And that's not what it's about. We need more than just people's money. We need people's passionate prayer. We need people's involvement on a level that is appropriate for them and where they're at. And so if we don't actually have a partnership, then there's nowhere to get involved. So I think that's something that definitely we need to explore.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Pam there. I think that good global mission involvement is like, if I start going to a congregation and within 6 months, I should be able to tell you about what the deep relationship in global mission is, because there'll be regular updates in the church service. There'll be prayer slots. There'll be up-to-date written communication from that particular global partner at the welcome desk. They could be featured on a prayer notice board. They'll be profiled on the church website. I'll have been invited in some way to be involved in their work through prayer or giving, or maybe even an opportunity to go and visit. when I speak to other members who have been at that church for longer than I have, then one of the things that they will talk about when they talk about their church is the deep relationship that they have overseas with Frank and Jean in Kenya. Global mission can't be seen as a kind of bold dawn that as Pam has said, is for the reserve of the super keen. It's something that we're all commanded to be involved in, and it needs to be embedded in the congregation, woven into all aspects of discipleship.
Let's look at it from the other side then. We've thought about congregations here. Pam, you mentioned the two-way conversation, which is a phrase I really liked. So what about those serving globally? How can PCI's global mission workers and other global partners help congregations to be more involved as well?
I'm going to put on my former global mission worker hat. I think, you know, for us down through the years, we would get emails from different congregations who specifically wanted a little bit more in-depth information. Obviously, each month we sent in the information for the bulletins, the monthly bulletins that are sent out by PCI centrally. And that was actually a really good discipline for us as global mission workers. You know, it was a short bulletin where you could communicate something of what was happening with the work. And then some things that really needed to be prayed for. That was something that I think was really great for us, having to provide that information for PCI. And I know that that is ongoing and continues. And for us personally, you know, we communicated by email or WhatsApp wasn't quite as big as it is now, I guess. But we often, one or two of the congregations that we were deeply connected to or sending congregation, we sent short videos that we would make of us talking to our phones, just sharing a little bit about life in Malawi. And we invited one congregation that we were partnering with, you know, to consider sending out a team. Now, that ultimately didn't happen. It was going to be very much a sort of come and see team, come and learn, come and see what's happening here. Ultimately, it didn't happen, but it was explored. And I think it was actually really great because for that particular congregation, it wasn't the right thing at the right time. And I think sometimes we can be quite quick to like, oh, we need to go and do X, Y, Z. But actually, it's good to think through more creatively about how to be involved with what our mission work, global mission workers are doing. And actually, it turned out that instead of sort of a work team coming, a pastoral care team came to visit us instead. And that was amazing for us. And hopefully, I think it showed the depth of interest and love that our congregation had for us. But I think in terms of communication, global mission workers, it has to be, if you're a congregation and you're wanting to connect with a global mission worker, I think being intentional in communicating with them, asking for one or two very specific prayer points, something that's not going to take ages and ages for a global mission worker to fill in. You know, at the end of the day, everyone's busy trying to do whatever they're doing in their particular job and role, whether that's at home or whether that's living in another country. And so we can't just spend hours and hours, you know, doing loads of stuff. But obviously, we did want to communicate what was happening and ask for prayer, especially. Yeah, and occasionally we would, when the internet allowed, we would actually, I think we used to Skype in. Yeah, Skype or FaceTime in. But it was a really good way for the congregation at home just to see us for 2 minutes on a Sunday morning and to sort of join up the dots.
Yeah, remember Skype. That's a good reminder. Actually, in a previous episode of this podcast, actually, we interviewed Peter Lockwood in Nepal and James Cochran in Portugal. And that was something that James picked up on. He talked about, you know, people want to come and do things, but actually one of the most helpful things is just coming and seeing. So, mm-hmm. you know, come and pray or come and listen and come and, you know, learn more about our work so that you will be better equipped as a global disciple as well. So thanks for highlighting that. So Neil, help us with this idea as well of how global mission workers can help congregations be more involved.
One of the words that mentioned time and time again is this idea of relationship, and good global mission involvement is born out of an active relationship overseas that really captures the hearts of people sitting in congregational pews. Good communication builds relationship. Pam's touched on that. She's just given lots of examples there of how that was active whenever she was one of our global mission workers. And I guess one thing that I've learned from COVID is that it's possible to maintain and build relationships regardless of geographical distance. And maybe historically, we've always felt like it's really hard to build a relationship with our global partners who are in, you know, Malawi or Kenya or Brazil. But actually, you know, both of my siblings don't live in Northern Ireland. And pre-COVID, our interactions were limited to seasonal events 3 times per year. But actually, in recent months, those relationships have grown over the development of a monthly family video call that we never really did before. And so relationship has grown because communication has grown, and geographical distance it doesn't matter because we can still do that. And so congregations will become more involved in global mission as their relationship grows with a particular person, place, or project. And a relationship will grow when the communication is good. And so on PCI, we've been working really hard in recent months to try and improve the communication from our global missions with the addition of digital dispatches is this new resource. Each global mission worker has produced short and long film clips that can be used in church services, prayer meetings or events, online or physically present. And those clips are there to raise awareness, and they're there to raise prayer, current prayer requests for what God is doing across the world as we want to kind of go deep and wide.
They're really fantastic. I think, you know, for us in Malawi, you know, David was able to do that little bit of techie stuff. And for a lot of people, then it's a bit scary trying to think about editing videos and getting the sound right and all of that. And so it's really such a brilliant resource that you can just ask the global mission workers to, you know, do a little bit of videoing, send the videos in, and then they're put together by the creative team. You just get such a clear snapshot of what they're doing and how you can pray for them. And I just want to really commend them to our listeners, that they are such a fantastic resource. And especially during these COVID times where maybe meetings are shorter, we're obviously not going to have the same face-to-face guests and visitors being able to come. And so, and obviously potentially if we end up having to go back to online services again exclusively, then they're just a fantastic resource.
Thanks for that, Pam. Much appreciated. I mean, I do have to really congratulate our global mission workers who, you know, we did some training with them in terms of trying to equip them how to get the best footage from their phone and how to make sure things like the sound and everything was right. And honestly, they have done a fantastic job and made the editing process much easier for us centrally. So they have been released across Facebook and they're available on the PCI website to download. And it's our hope that this will be the beginning of something that can be updated maybe 3 times a year as a communication tool that will help to build that relationship and that will really spur a congregation on to pray, to give, to be involved in other appropriate ways. And so, yes, the monthly bulletins are still there and they're still like the most up-to-date primary method of communication with people. But we believe that these digital dispatches will be another kind of layer of communication that will actually probably go wider and reach more people and hopefully draw people in and draw congregations into a relationship with a particular person or place overseas.
Okay, thanks for highlighting those digital dispatches, and we're going to hear a sample of one of them at the end of this podcast. But before we do, we love to ask every contributor to share maybe something from scripture that maybe has been helpful to them at this time or helps them maybe illuminate this theme a little bit more. Neil, can we start with you for that?
God promised Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and that's God's plan of rescue. And we see the kind of end of that story when John gets a glimpse of the fulfillment of this promise that God made to Abraham in Revelation chapter 9, when he says this here: "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" I just think, what an amazing picture. This is where we are headed. And as distant and unfamiliar as the churches in Syria or Portugal or Malawi might seem, whether we grasp it or not, our future is inextricably linked and tied to theirs. And when Jesus returns to reclaim this world as its rightful king, we will find ourselves praising God alongside Christians from every age, from every nation on earth. And God's plan for the future ought to affect then the way that we live and think today. So, like, does the church in Russia matter to you? Does it matter to me? When we hear about persecution in Sri Lanka, do I feel compassion? When we hear of a mission work in Syria, do we make plans to pray for them or support them financially? Because these are our brothers and sisters. Their mission is the same as ours. They're working together with us towards the same goal. And we cannot fulfill the mission that God has given us without them. So how can we be more involved? How can we grasp that? So that would be something, a picture that I think just speaks so much to me about the mission that, of God that we are part of.
Brilliant. Pam?
I think for me, you know, just what Neil has shared, you know, it's really evident that God's heart is for all nations, and it's evident through all of Scripture from Genesis right through to Revelation. It's clear that God desires for the nations to know and worship him. And, you know, in the Old Testament, we see that he used his covenant people, the Israelites, to shine as a light to the nations around them and to bless the nations. And I love these verses in Psalm 67 and 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And that's ultimately, you know, what we are called to do. We are called, and God has blessed us by calling us to follow Jesus. And we are called to share in that blessing with not just with people of our own culture, but with all nations, that the Lord's salvation would be seen. And in Philippians 2, obviously it's a very familiar passage about Jesus and about him humbling himself to death on the cross. And the end point of that passage in the early part of Philippians 2 is that the reason for that was that Jesus humbled himself and then God was able to exalt him following his resurrection, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I think that is what needs to drive us and motivate us. You know, we have this message to share, and we are called in the authority of Jesus Christ to go out and to make disciples. You know, again, also in Philippians, you know, Paul talks to the church in Philippi and thanks them so much for their partnership in the gospel. And that's what we as global disciples need to be doing. We need to be thinking about that partnership and how we are sharing in what God is doing around the world. And, you know, just what Neil said about, you know, does our heart break when we hear of these stories of persecution and war and famine? And do we want to give and pray? Do our hearts rejoice when we hear of revival and many people coming to know the love and mercy of Christ through our different church partners? And so we need to have that underpinning of why we are motivated to do that. And ultimately, it's because of the Word of God and how it shows so clearly that God is a God of mission, a God of the nations, and he calls us to serve him in what he is already doing.
Thanks so much. I mean, I've loved that. I've loved how you've ended. I mean, you did highlight and diagnose a problem, but you've given us principles and you've helped us with the practicalities, and you've ended, both of you have ended with giving us an amazing picture, a reminder of God's heart for the nations. So we thank you for what you've brought to us today, and we thank you for the work that you are both involved in, both congregationally and centrally as well. Now, to close each episode within this series of the podcast, we're including some snapshots or stories of life and witness at this time. Now, we've already mentioned this, and so to fit this episode's global theme, we're going to share with you this audio excerpt from Colin and Marjorie, who are currently working in the Middle East. This is one of PCI's Digital Dispatches series, and a video version of this clip is available on the Refined section of the PCI website. So let's take some time to listen to their reflections, and do take time to pray for them and their work.
Hi, my name is Colin and I am the PCI Global Mission Worker in the Middle East.
My name is Marjorie and I'm Colin's wife, I serve alongside Colin as Global Mission Worker in the Middle East.
And we are excited that God has invited us to be involved in his mission and his word. But it's not an exclusive invitation only for us. This invitation includes you also. Our God is the God of mission, and we are all his missional people. And God's mission for us centers around theological education in the Middle East, or to put it simply, training Arab leaders for the Arab world so that they may be better equipped to plant and strengthen churches in their own countries. I teach pastoral theology and counseling to students from countries throughout the Middle East, North Africa, and beyond.
My responsibility as library assistant involves the day-to-day running of the library, also ensuring that the students would have access to the books that they require for their courses, and offering a listening ear and pastoral support to students from Iraq and Syria, from North and South Sudan, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, Egypt, Chad and Eritrea.
We are also involved in a local Arab congregation, preaching the gospel, teaching, discipling, and also helping to resource their vast ministry to refugees in partnership with many of you.
I am involved in befriending and supporting women in the congregation and offering hospitality in our own home to overseas visitors and teams, students, church members and local people.
The country where we serve is emerging from the coronavirus, and even though life and living is challenging on many levels, it's so encouraging to see the college continuing with a combination of courses online and in the classrooms, and the church and its ministries are slowly returning to a level of normality.
We also want to say how grateful we are for the support of the United Appeal, as it's the resource which makes it possible for us to remain in the Middle East and to serve the believers there. It's through our being sent by God and supported by the United Appeal that God is able to bring encouragement to his people in their time of need.
So I want to thank you for your continued support through the United Appeal and in prayer. Here are three things we would really love you to pray for just now as you seek to go deep and wide in global mission. Please pray as we move many courses online that we wouldn't lose any of our effectiveness in training Arab leaders for the Arab world.
And pray that the refugees in the local congregation would continue to know God's healing from the trauma that they have experienced in their lives.
And pray also that the church throughout the Middle East would remain rooted in the love and the grace of Christ and his gospel as it faces persecution, financial hardship and so much uncertainty. But also, please be assured that we are praying for you as you continue to live as missional people serving a missional God.